Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman. Okay, so I'm not laughing because this is just crazy, but so today I'm going to be covering the murder of Linda Anderson, aka Anne Margaret Lebenstein, aka the Bathtub Girls, aka the Bathtub Murder. Have you heard of this?
Okay, I've heard of it, but I can't really remember exactly what it's about, so I'm excited. Sounds crazy.
It is. And if you're wondering, Andrea, why does this case have so many names? Well, for starters, this took place in Canada, and the police wanted to protect the identities of the murderers because they were, quote unquote, children at the time.
The murderers or the victims?
The murderers, yes.
Oh my God, okay.
But their names were leaked, and I'm actually going to be using their real names because it is what it is. But there's like so many details of this case that are just crazy.
Okay.
So I'm going to just get right into it.
Okay.
And actually, so funny story though, I was like trying to find, cause we had talked about doing a solved case and I was like, I Googled like the most epic solved cases of all time or something like that. And like, this was like number 9 on a out of 10 list or whatever. So that's where I found this. I actually have never heard of it until I started diving into it.
I know. I feel like I've like heard the name, but I don't think I've ever heard it on like a podcast or anything.
I haven't. So
yeah,
I'm sure there's something out there, but I personally, with the podcast I listen to, haven't heard it. So
yeah.
Okay. So Linda Anderson, better known as Anne Margaret Lebenstein or Lebenstein. I'm not really sure, but I won't use her last name anymore.
Okay.
She was born in Poland in 1959, then eventually immigrated to Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Don't know anything about Canada, so.
I know very little. Like, I know certain areas, but I don't know, because they have, like, names and then Canada. So it's like an extra name that we have.
The only thing I know about Canada is that they serve really good ice water because I was I promise, little mini tangent because I have to tell you this. When I was in Italy, I don't know if I've ever told you the story about my crazy flight delay. When I went to Italy. So there was like a whole issue going over there where there was a medical emergency and we had to turn around. So this was like for my study abroad. So my first time traveling internationally alone. And so then I made it there. I was in Italy for a month and then I was coming back and we were flying out of Rome and we were going Rome. I was going with my friend from Rome to Canada. And then from Canada, she was going back to Chicago and I was going to LA. And we get to the Rome airport, whole Rome airport shuts down. Shut down. There was like a fire in like a control room, whole thing shut down. Thankfully my flight got out that day, but it got out too late. So we had to stay over in Canada and all we wanted was ice water. Cause in Europe they like don't do ice water.
Yeah.
And that's all we wanted. So we like went to the hotel restaurant and we got burgers and ice water and it was the best thing ever. That's the only thing I know about Canada.
I like a good water. There's nothing like a good tasting water because all water is not created equal.
No, agreed.
So Anne Margaret, now living in Canada, met a man whose name is completely nowhere. Could not identify him. Oh. But most of the reports that I read called him Mr. Carubin. And that's literally all we know about this guy.
That's interesting.
Yes. So Canada does a really good job of keeping their records sealed, I guess.
That doesn't surprise me. Canada has their shit together.
Yeah, they do. So they later went on to have two daughters, one in 1987 named Caroline. And the following year they had a daughter named Catherine. So they were about a year apart. The family dynamics seemed to be pretty strained. Their father eventually left their family and had very little to do with the girls as they grew up. Anne Margaret, now being a single mother, became pretty depressed, understandably, and she would often turn to alcohol to cope with her depression, which isn't the best thing to do, it happens. It does happen.
Yeah.
Of course, being a single mom comes with many challenges. One of the major ones for this family was financial stability. And Anne Margaret actually had to work two jobs at one point in time to provide for her family.
I can't imagine. On top of being a mom, now you're working two jobs.
I know. And you have kids. Like, I don't know how she did it all.
Yeah.
One of her jobs was a nurse. So she was a nurse and she did work long hours. When the girls were 10 and 11, Anne Margaret actually met another man and had another child with him. And his name was Robert. So 10 and 11, they have a little brother. It seems like the man did not stick around very long or at all. So again, she's a single mom now with three kids. And I know. And Caroline and Catherine would have to step in and help mother Robert while their mother was working. And as they got older, especially when they started getting into their teen years, they began to grow very resentful of that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which I cannot relate to because I was older when my sisters were born and I often helped take care of them and I loved every minute of it. Like I would babysit them and like get up with them and like feed them bottles and change their diaper and like all that stuff. And I loved it.
Yeah. But
maybe that's just my nature and that's not their nature. I don't really know.
Yeah. And I wonder too, if like they were jealous if he was getting more attention or something like that. Like all of a sudden there's this new baby in the family and like you're 10 and 11. So you're kind of
in that weird not, like, stage
anymore. Yeah. Maybe that played into it, but
I think so. I think they had a lot of resentment, a lot of jealousy, and just overall did not care for the situation. It also like really irked me because they were so upset with their mother, but like, what about their dad? Like he just walked out on them and like had little to do with them. And they seemed to like take it all out on their mom, which was, you know, sad, you know, their mother is working her ass off, trying to provide for her family. She loved her kids and wanted to provide the best life that she could for them. And, you know, unfortunately that meant she had to work 10, 12, 14 hour days sometimes.
Right.
Sources state that the girls often worried about their mother's drinking, and once they became teenagers, they actually did reach out for help from friends and family and their father. And there was a report where they reached out to like a family service, like people that help families get into like better situations. But it appears that no one
breaks my heart.
But it appears that no one would or could help them, so they just were kind of set in their circumstances. Other reports said that the girls also began to grow jealous of their friends because they got to wear nicer clothing, they had nice houses and pools in their yards, and they lived in a townhouse in a poorer section of town, which to me, like, a townhouse is still pretty freaking nice. Like, I live in a townhouse, and I mean, at least you're not living in, like, a trailer or an apartment or you know, whatever. So these girls sounded like they were kind of spoiled and entitled, even though they didn't have like nicer things. But I totally understand, like, you know, being envious of like what other people have, especially at that age, because that's just like kind of a natural thing that teens kind of have or whatever. But I also feel like that they didn't give their mother enough credit or compassion and just like really realize like what she actually did do for them. So into their teen years, it was also reported that the girls would skip school, that they would smoke pot and party a lot, which I don't know. I did skip school a couple of times, but you know, I feel like that's not like super uncommon for like kids to skip school sometimes and like party sometimes. But I guess it was like a concerning amount of times.
Well, and it depends on what their intention was. Like, it seems like they're trying to rebel and like get their mother's attention and go against her and stuff. So
yeah,
if that's your intention, that's definitely not good. If you're just trying to have a good time, that's a different story.
Exactly. And then there was another report, which I only found it in one source, that said that the girls eventually quit school. So they're like 15, 16 and they quit school, which I don't know how true that is, but also if that is true, like why not, why did you not get a job to like help out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer to let kids be kids, but if you're as mature as everyone says you are and you're as smart as everyone says you are and you're not going to school, you should probably get a job.
Yeah. If you're not going to school in high school, you should do something with your life. Like if you're gonna quit school, you got to do something.
Exactly. So coworkers claimed that Ann Margaret was a kind person, she was a hard worker, and that she loved her kids. But after some time, her job as a nurse eventually caught on to her drinking issues and they had to let her go.
Oh no.
Yeah, so Ann Margaret, now unemployed, just sunk deeper into her depression.
It's sad.
I know. There was reports also that she like had another boyfriend and she was trying to like rope him in and get him to marry her, but he wasn't really interested. So I'm sure that that like, you know, aided her depression even more.
Right.
Caroline, who was the oldest, had had enough with the way her life was going. And around this time, she began to formulate a plan.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now that she had this plan, she needed to convince her younger sister, Catherine, that she needed her help. The plan was that they needed to kill their mother. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which, like, that's a jump. That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
So there was a life insurance policy for $200,000 that Ann Margaret had taken out and put in her children's name, so they'd have to divide it, you know, equally between the three of them. And right. They would not be able to access it until they were 18 years old. But Caroline says that that was not the motive, that the motive was to have, you know, more freedom and independence. And she also, like, one of the things that she said to convince her sister was that it was the best idea because their mother was slowly killing herself anyway. Which, like, okay, yes, that's true, but, like, you don't kill your...
do something to help her.
Exactly, like, tell her to go to rehab, like, threaten her and say, like, we're gonna do this if you don't go to rehab, you don't get help, or whatever.
Right, and, yeah, I completely agree that it's not, it wasn't the life insurance, like, I don't think that they, that was why they were doing it.
Yeah, so Caroline, now 16... worked hard to convince her sister, Catherine, who was 15, that it was the best idea. Catherine was not so sure of this plan. She was not on board at first, but Caroline said that she was going to do this with or without her sister's help.
Okay.
Caroline would often daydream about her life after her mother's death. She imagined living in the townhouse with her sister and her brother, being able to have friends over anytime she wanted. They could move in and do whatever anytime they felt good and ready. She daydreamed about taking the money from the insurance policy and traveling the world.
So she's really like living her, expecting to be living her dream life of like pure freedom. It almost sounds like she's
at 16.
Not a typical teenager, but like a teenager that's like, oh, I don't want my parents to control me, like whatever. Which, I mean, I totally get that. I was like that. And then add on to that the resentment she already had for her mom, and now right. her mom's like drinking and losing her job and all of that, and it seems like she's just like, I'm just gonna get rid of my mom and then I can do whatever I want with my life.
Yeah,
which is like such an immature thing to think, because no,
that's not reality. Yeah, like yeah. you're gonna get either put in foster care or some family member is gonna take care of you. You're not gonna just be able to live your life the way you want it.
Right.
So one of her dreams was when she turned 18 to go to Amsterdam, which I guess she was like, you know, really into like the party scene and stuff, because that's pretty much what you do there.
Amsterdam's, I mean, it's a really fun city, but it's also known for like
that,
especially weed.
Yeah. But again, she wanted to make it clear that money was not the motive and that it would just be a perk. So Caroline did share the information, or the, you know, thought about killing her mother with a few of her friends, Jay and Ashley. But they didn't necessarily, you know, take Caroline that seriously. Because I feel like, you know, you're a teenager. Like, ugh, I hate my mom. I wish she was dead. Like, I never said that. But, you know, I've heard it. I've heard people say stuff similar to that.
Right.
She also did not tell her boyfriend, Donnie, of her plan. He was kind of judgmental of her actions. He didn't like that she smoked weed. He didn't like that she partied.
Interesting.
So she felt like, you know, if she told him this, then he would, like, not be on board and not support her, which, like, good for him. But I just think it's funny that she, like, thinks of these things, you know?
Right.
So finally, after some time, Caroline convinced her sister Catherine to help her kill their mother. So now we're going to fast forward to January of 2003. Like I mentioned before, the girls were smart. They knew that they couldn't just kill their mother in an obvious fashion. So to ensure that they would get the insurance payout. They also knew. Yeah, I know. It's like so calculated, right?
Right. That's like the definition of a sociopath.
Exactly. They also knew that they needed to do this one of the weekends that their brother Robert was with his parent or his dad. So the girls came up with their plan to get their mother extremely intoxicated and have her, quote unquote, accidentally drown in the bathtub, looking as though,
oh my gosh,
it was unintentional. So everyone knew Anne Margaret, or everyone that knew Anne Margaret knew that she was an alcoholic and that she had depression issues. And they figured that this would be a very believable accidental death. So their friend Jay actually agreed to be their alibi. And in a message on AIM, told Caroline that drowning was one of the worst ways to go.
Oh.
Yeah. So okay. Catherine, she also had a boyfriend. His name was Justin. And I guess he was in on it because he also agreed to cover for her by buying movie tickets and ripping them in half to make it appear as though they actually went to see the movie.
This whole thing is so calculated.
Like, all these kids, like, I get it. You're, like, 16. Like, you're living in fantasy land. Like, in theory, it sounds, like, fun and cool to, like, you know, plan a murder. But, like, they're killing their mother.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
No. Yeah.
Evil. Like, pure evil.
Yeah.
So then the girls came up with their stories that they would tell the police, and they rehearsed them over and over again. And they actually, like, practiced trying to cry, which is, again, like, sociopathic.
That literally is, yeah, no.
So originally they had planned to kill their mother on January 11th, but they decided that because there was a party the next day, they didn't want that to get in the way of it. So they pushed it back and decided to kill their mother on January 18th of 2003.
Excuse me? There was a party and you... Oh my God.
There was a party. Yep. Because they knew their... One of their friends said, well, if you kill your mom on this day, then you're going to be, like, tied up with the police the day of the party. So the girls acquired some Tylenol 3s from Justin, which is Caroline's boyfriend. And okay. If you didn't know, Tylenol 3s have codeine in them. That's what they, that's like the, I've heard people like call it that, like, you know, in the streets, I guess, like, Tylenol 3s, man. I'm just kidding. That's really what they call it. That's what they call, like, the doctors call it that.
Right. It's basically like stronger Tylenol.
Right. Because codeine is a controlled substance, so...
Okay.
It's like, what's the other one? It's like... I can't think of the other one, but the other one is like ibuprofen and whatever, oxy or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So they acquired the Tylenol 3s, which have codeine in them, and on the evening of January 18th, they sat down to have dinner with their mother. And they started giving her vodka and lemonade mixed drinks. They also gave her several glasses of wine. And by the end of dinner, their mother had consumed 6 Tylenol 3s. Which to me, that seems like a lethal dose in of itself.
That, like, 6 within a short period of time and within, she's like, drinking. An hour. That's definitely dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was no reports as to exactly how they got them in her system, but I'm assuming that they crushed them up and put them in her drink. Because otherwise, like, she's probably not going to just take a pill that they gave her, you know?
Right.
So she also went through a fifth of vodka. That's how much they gave her, which she was an alcoholic. Oh my gosh. Like, she was a, you know, daily drinker of alcohol. So, you know, drinking a lot, that might not have done it. But, like, the combination of Tylenol and codeine, like.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said she had wine, too.
And she had several glasses of wine. Yes.
So, like, that's even more. Wow.
Yeah. They then led her into the bathroom, undressed her, and guided her into the tub. And in... Margaret was barely conscious.
Right.
And she was barely able to stand on her own. Then Caroline put latex gloves on as not to leave any fingerprints on her mother's body, which I thought was kind of weird because I was like, why did she do that? But I guess, like, fingerprints on your head, because she would have to hold her, you know, maybe they would be able to tell something's going on.
She's literally thought of everything.
Yeah. And she didn't fight back. She was completely, you know, she was barely conscious. She wasn't completely unconscious, but she, like, didn't fight back. But Caroline thought, okay, it would be easier if I rolled her over to her stomach. So she then proceeded to roll her mother on her stomach and then pushed her head under the water and held it down for 4 minutes.
Does it even take that long to drown?
Someone told her that. Someone said it takes 4 minutes for someone to drown, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
I think it's different for different people because obviously, like, I don't know. I don't really know. I guess you could,
like, hold your breath for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. But she's, like, so drunk. She wouldn't, you know, she would just be, like, breathing, probably.
Right. Right.
But I also think, like, even if you're that intoxicated and someone's holding your head under the water, wouldn't your, like, adrenaline kick in and, like, the fight or flight? But I guess she was just, like, so far gone.
She was so out of it with the Tylenol and the all the alcohol.
Yeah. So at this point now, Anne Margaret is deceased. The girls then took their mom's debit card and left the house. They met up with their friend Ashley at the bus stop, and the three girls hopped on the bus at 7 p.m. They all went to a restaurant called Jackaster's, which is like a local chain. I don't know. I guess it's a Canadian thing. I don't know. which is where they had planned to be that night as part of their alibi. So all their friends were going to meet them there. Mm-hmm. And calculated Caroline brought the latex gloves with her and disposed of them at the restaurant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. Friends actually reported, though, that Caroline was surprisingly upset at dinner, whereas Catherine, who was the younger sister who didn't do the murder, I mean, she was in on it, but she's not the one who actually held her mom's head down, seemed over the moon, happy, and excited about what they did. So, naturally, I guess, all the friends wanted details as exactly what happened, and Caroline told them that it wasn't at all what she suspected. Yeah. So, at 10:30 p.m., the girls returned to, quote, find their mother dead in the bathtub. And it was planned that Catherine would be the one to call 911, but she didn't think that she could cry on cue. So Caroline ended up calling instead. So basically Caroline did it all. God. I mean, her sister is like taking the whatever, but she's the one who ended up doing pretty much everything. So the dispatcher told Caroline to check for a pulse, and she said, I don't want to touch her body, which is like, I don't know. Maybe I would feel the same way, but then the dispatcher told her to try to pull her mother out of the tub to perform CPR. And Caroline said that she didn't think she could physically get her out of the tub.
Wow.
Yeah. So within a few minutes, the Constable Horner, I don't know why I said the Constable Horner, but that's what I wrote, arrived on scene. The girls told him that they had plans about to dinner with friends that night, and that their mother gave them her debit card to pay for dinner. And when they left, that their mother was already visibly intoxicated, and that she suffered from alcoholism and depression. That when they returned later that night, They found their mother, and she was face down in the tub and was blue. So Constable Horner went into the bathroom and saw that Anne Margaret was face down. Her right arm was hanging over the side of the tub. Also, which this is like, her head was closest to the faucet, opposite of the side that you would think that your head would be on if you're laying in the tub. I don't know about you, but I lay with my feet at the faucet. Like,
yeah.
What? Why would you lay on, like, you can't even lay on that side.
No, it seems like they thought about everything but that.
Yeah. So I would think that this would raise a huge red flag, but they seem to not. They had a theory that she was sitting up initially and that when she passed out, she fell forward. But even still, wouldn't she be like folded? Her body wouldn't just go like and like flatten out.
Flip over, yeah.
And they couldn't prove that, so it was just a theory.
Right.
But they did end up ruling her death an accident. There was no sign of struggle.
Oh.
And nothing was obviously suspicious. So the police took the girls down to the police station for questioning, and they recounted their story of the night. As I mentioned before, they left for dinner with friends. Their mother was drunk when they left. They found her dead in the tub upon arrival and called 911. Catherine was calm and did not cry at all during her interview, which, I don't know. People say stuff about that, but sometimes you don't know how you'll react in those situations.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I've had things happen where I, like, don't cry and same. Where you'd think I'd cry. So, right. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Catherine, on the other hand, was still a bit upset, but she was much calmer than she was during the interview than she had been at the house. Evidently, at the house, she was completely hysterical. So, after an autopsy was performed, they officially ruled Margaret's death as an accidental drowning due to excessive alcohol intake. Her blood alcohol level was 0.415, which...
Oh, my God.
If you did not know, here in the U.S., the legal limit is 0.08, so that is 5 times over the U.S. legal limit.
Wow.
They actually said that in of itself could have killed her. Like, she could have had heart failure or asphyxiation during her sleep, even being an alcoholic. But no other drug tests were ordered. So they never uncovered the fact that she had a high amount of codeine in her system as well. Which, like, isn't that just part of it? Like, would you not do that just as a, I don't know, safety?
I mean, to see, even if you didn't expect it or suspect that it was, like, a murder, just to, like, did she OD on something? Like, was there something else that contributed to it? Yeah. But I guess if they rule it an accident, it's kind of just, like,
It's an accident.
Yeah.
So it was reported that the girls' actions at their mother's funeral was less than ideal. They showed up with green and pink hair spiked up and in clothing that not be considered appropriate for a funeral, which I have colored hair, you know, if that's a thing that's like you normally do, then okay. But like that was unusual for them because they did not have hair like that prior to all of this.
Right. But, and to be devil's advocate, I mean, we know that they did it, but maybe they were, like, so distraught over their mother's death that, like, they were going crazy kind of thing. Like, I could see that being a possibility, but it doesn't sound like that's how they tried to play it off.
No. And there was also reports that they were seen laughing and joking with their friends right beside their mother's casket, which, again, playing devil's advocate, like, I've been to my fair share of funerals, and especially with like friends and stuff, like family, whatever, like you do find yourself laughing and trying to remember like good times, happier times, like funny things that person might have said or done.
Right.
But it was just like, it was a red flag for people, and they were very disturbed by the girl's behavior.
And I feel like you can tell when it's actually like, you know, when it's just trying to light in the moment versus when it's just being rude and disrespectful. Like,
exactly.
There's a difference.
Right. And I even said, I was like, you know, sometimes people are so sad and you just kind of like go back and forth with like laugh, cry, laugh, cry, laugh, cry just to get through it. But there was no crying. It was just laughing.
That's fucked up.
I know. So being that the girls are minors, they had to stay with their aunt after their mother's death. But then their father moved into their townhouse.
Okay.
So the girls could, like, come home, which I thought was super, super odd. Like, why would anyone allow them to move back into that house, you know?
Yeah.
Especially their father, who's supposed to, like, have their best interests. But, I mean, evidently, you know, he's a piece of shit anyway. So we shouldn't expect too much from him. But it was reported that their father was very strict and would not let the girls, like, go out with friends and, like, do the things that they were used to doing.
So this totally backfired.
Well, sort of, because it ended up, like not being ideal for them. So they ended up moving back in with their aunt, and she gained legal guardianship of the girls.
Oh, interesting.
And she seemed to be a lot more lax with them, and she really, like, felt for them because they had lost their mother. So I'm sure that they, like, had her around their pinky. So their friends, Ashley and Jay, which were, like, the main people, I guess, involved besides Justin, who gave them the drugs, they were starting to get worried that if the girls got caught, they would also be charged as accessories to murder, which is, like, a very big possibility. Yeah. And Ashley said at one point that she almost turned the girls in because she just didn't feel right about what happened, which, like, yeah. I'm rolling my eyes because you had ample opportunities to do the right thing and you did nothing. And also, Caroline's boyfriend, Donnie, if we remember, the guy who, like, doesn't like her drinking and partying and all that.
Right.
He began to grow suspicious of what really happened to Anne Margaret. And was questioning her a lot. And eventually she did confess to him as well that she killed their mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So now there are several people in their friend group that know what they really did. However, not one single one of them had the courage to stand up and admit to what really happened.
Wow. I mean, that doesn't surprise me because it feels like these girls are manipulative and, like, scary. Yeah. So I'm sure that they, like, threaten them. But the only person that I'm surprised by is the Donnie. Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Same. But then again, if he loved her and, like, you know, wanted to be with her, he's not going to say shit.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know if these people's names are the real names, but they're probably not. But that's what I got. That's what I got in my research. So now we're going to fast forward again to November of 2003. So it's been, 11 months since their mother's death.
Wow.
Caroline has been drinking excessively, doing more drugs, and her boyfriend, Donnie, fed up with it, has broken up with her, and she is essentially spiraling out of control. Exactly. She ended up getting back in touch with an old friend, and I'm assuming this person is someone that either she went to school with prior, because they did move around a lot. But it was someone that knew her mom and her sister as well. But I think he was, like, their age, and she hadn't spoken to or seen him in quite some time. And after talking to him on several occasions, she just blurted out one day that she and her sister were the one who killed their mother.
Oh my God.
Which, like, girlfriend, like, you need to shut your mouth. You're going to get caught. So finally, someone was so disturbed by the information that they found out, he couldn't just sit back and do nothing. He actually reached out to his school guidance counselor and told them what he had learned. So this guidance counselor was not only a counselor for the school, but they were also a police officer.
I love it.
And they convinced, I'm going to call him Brian just because, like, I don't have a name for him. They convinced Brian to help them catch the girls and have them confess to him again.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So
I love this.
Brian gets wired up, hidden wires all in his chest, like, you know, in the movies and stuff. And they put a hidden camera in his car, and he arranged to hang out with Caroline in December. Then in January, he did the same thing with Catherine. Both the girls fell for it, and they described in detail how they plotted and killed their mother, Anne Margaret.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, in late January, so it has been a whole ass year since they killed their mom. They got away with it for a freaking year. In late January of 2004, both of the girls were arrested at their aunt's house. They also picked up Ashley, Jay, Justin, and Donnie for questioning.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Search warrants were executed at their aunt's home and at their school for their lockers. And back at the police department, Caroline confessed to the murder of her mother and claimed that Catherine had nothing to do with it until after the fact.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, she's the bigger sister. I get it. I would probably do that for my sisters, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Catherine refused to talk, however, and would not cooperate with police. And she asked for a lawyer. But luckily in Canada, they do not have to stop the interrogation when the perpetrator asks for a lawyer.
Interesting. So
they then showed Catherine footage from the hidden camera in her friend's car where she is confessing to what happened, but she still did not fess up.
Wouldn't confess. Wow. Nope.
She's kept her lips sealed.
Wow.
So once the investigation began, they of course found the online messages exchanged between the girls and their friends. They also found evidence in the history where the girls had looked up ways to kill their mother. To make it look like an accident. Yeah. So they were smart, but they weren't that smart.
Yeah. And I just can't help but laugh because they deserve this.
I know. I know. I was like, these little bitches. And there was many hits on accidental drowning. So just like, you know, one after another in the history.
Right.
They also found searches that contained, you know, what happens when you mix Tylenol 3s and alcohol, or the effects of codeine and alcohol. So in April 2004, the girls were let out on bail. Jay was also arrested for conspiracy to commit murder, but was let out on bail as well. Ashley, however, was not arrested or charged because she agreed to testify against the girls.
Smart girl.
Interesting. Yeah. And then Justin was also charged with conspiracy to murder for the pills, knowing ahead of time that they were going to kill their mother. And he received 18 months, but only served 4. So the girls' trial lasted 8 weeks. And in the Toronto Star, reports stated that the girls loved all the attention they were receiving. Shocking. And that they were actually caught laughing during the trial when the prosecution was covering the autopsy.
Oh my god.
Like, what literal monsters.
Yeah.
They did not seem remorseful in the least. But luckily, in December of 2005, both Caroline and Catherine were found guilty for the murder of their mother.
Thank God.
Now for the sentencing. Due to the Youth Criminal Justice Act in Canada, which protects violent youth offenders to allow them, quote unquote, proper rehabilitation, Caroline spent under 5 years in prison and Catherine spent just over 5 years in prison. And if you're wondering, Caroline was the one that confessed. She got less time. The reason why is because while she was in prison, Catherine, the younger sister, basically they were like, this girl is a sociopath and she needs longer for rehabilitation.
Like, but they still let her out?
But they still fucking let her out, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So when Caroline was let free, or set free, whatever, she did go on to live in a halfway house, and she later went on to study engineering. Catherine, surprisingly, went to law school, and she is now married with 2 children.
Excuse me, what? You killed your mother, and...
you're just out doing the damn thing, yeah.
Normal life?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Way to go, Canada. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I guess it worked because they were rehabilitated, but...
yeah, I mean...
especially I with, like, that, how premeditated it was and how, like...
I know.
Calculated it all was. They knew what they were doing. Yeah.
Like, we think, like, our justice system is flawed. That, to me, is a major flaw. Like... this are 5 years for murdering someone, even as a child. Like, I mean, you would at least get, what, 15 years probably here? I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. They probably let you out in, like, 7 or something.
But still, like, that's, yeah, wow. I can't believe they, like, live normal lives now.
I know. I guess, like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of feelings when you have, like, a teenager that's like really against their mom. And like when you become an adult, you don't really, you realize like maybe that was really stupid. I mean, obviously killing your mom is really stupid, but.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's not like they were serial killers that were killing random people or something. Like it was a targeted.
Like isolated incident, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's crazy to me.
It's crazy to me. When I read that, like there was an article I read and it was like, the girl was like, or whoever, the author, not the girl, I don't know. She was like, did they do their time? Yes. Should they be punished for life? No. And like all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, but they only spent 5 years in prison. Like, how can you really even, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, yeah. I guess they're fine now. So aside from that, there isn't much information about these two because Canada really does protect their records, especially in the case of minors in their country. But just to end on a silly note, I guess, there is a Lifetime type movie that covers this case. And there's also a couple of books, but evidently neither the books nor the movie depicts the crime as it actually happened. And they got a lot of flack for that. So when I was doing my research, I kept stumbling on like this crappy movie, this stupid book. And I was like, I'll be using those sources. But
it's so fun. Like with all the information we have about the case, you really couldn't depict it properly.
I know. So
typical Lifetime.
That is the case of Linda Anderson, AKA Ann Margaret, AKA the Bathtub Girls, AKA the Bathtub Murder. So
that's insane. I would never have heard that. Wow.
Yeah, it is insane. It was like, it's one of the craziest cases that I've ever heard. Like, even though it's not like, I mean, there is a lot of details. It's not like, you know, a super long detailed case or anything, but the details are just so crazy.
It's like a whole roller coaster.
Yeah. And it's, what's it called? Like matricide? Matricide, I think is what it is. Like when you kill your mom. So I was like, oh, I learned a new word today. For some reason, I didn't know that. Like, I know a lot of the other sides when it comes to like murdering, but I hadn't heard that one. Strangely enough, but I will try to find pictures. There is pictures of Ann Margaret and Caroline and Catherine, so I'll definitely post those on the Instagram, and that's at inhuman_podcast. And then we'll probably post some TikToks from our cases this week at some point, which is Inhuman Podcast on TikTok. And we have a Facebook group now, which is also Inhuman Podcast, so go over there and give us a like.
Yeah, and we can discuss cases over there.
But
this, I feel like this story will make for a good TikTok.
Yes, I agree. I think it will too. Thank you guys so much for listening, and keep it human.
Bye.